whatever. The super clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm excited, and I've got a word that I know is from the Lord specifically. And there are some times that I get in the Word of God, and I'll get a word and hunt for one. And then there's times where the Lord will just drop something in my heart. And let me tell you, this is a word that the Lord dropped in my heart for you specifically tonight. In fact, last night, I told my wife, the Lord spoke to me and said, Pastor Bob's going to call you and ask you to preach tomorrow night, and this is what you're supposed to preach. And that was late last night. Pastor Bob called about an hour later, and my wife goes, who was that? I said, you know who it was. It was Pastor Bob, and I knew exactly, this is what I'm supposed to preach. So again, this is the word of the Lord to you tonight, and I believe we need it. And the title is, Tell the Truth, Let's Be Honest. Tell the Truth, Let's Be Honest. And again, this is not necessarily a message I would have picked, but again, when the Lord says, you do this, you do it. I want to look at the fact, first of all, that there are 324 Old Testament prophecies, and Jesus fulfilled every one of those prophecies about himself from the Old Testament. Some of them that he had no control over. Eight of them in specific. The place of his birth, you know where that was, right? How he was born, the betrayal of a friend, his own people rejected him, his beating, stripes on his back, his body pierced, his hands, his feet, and his side, the way that he died, the crucifixion with criminals, and his burial in a rich man's tomb. None of those did he have any control over. And I just think that's amazing that he fulfilled all of these things that were well documented, even as much as 700 years and even before that, before he was ever born. And a guy named Peter Stoner in a publication called Science Speaks, he showed that the following probabilities show that coincidence is ruled out by the science of probability. Stoner says that by using the modern science of probability in reference to eight prophecies, we find that the chance that any man might have lived down to the present time fulfilled all eight prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That would be 1 with 17, or 10 with 17 zeros after it. In order to help us comprehend this staggering probability, Stoner illustrates it by supposing that we take 10 to the 17th power, that many silver dollars, lay them on the face of Texas, they would cover all the state 2 feet deep. Now, mark one of these silver dollars, stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state, blindfold a man, tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that it is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing these eight prophecies and having them all come true in one man. Stoner considers 48 prophecies, just 48, and says, we find the chance that any man would fulfill all 48 prophecies to be 1 in 10 to the 157th power. So 10 with 157 zeros after it. I don't even know what number that would be. I can tell you this, though, that the estimated number of electrons in the universe is around 10 to the 79th power. So twice the number of electrons in the universe, the odds of Jesus fulfilling just 48 prophecies, much less 324. Someone else said they found 365 that specifically were about Jesus. So it should be evident that Jesus did not fulfill the prophecies by accident. So if you look at the truth and you look at the facts, some people might say, well, Jesus came on the scene and he fulfilled these prophecies and then they wrote the prophecies after he lived his life. But we know that's impossible because the whole Israeli and Jewish society was built on those prophecies and the Word of God. It was well documented. So you might say, well, but then he lived his life so that it could come to pass. Hey, let's be honest. Did he have any control over what Herod would do in having his mom and dad have to come to Bethlehem for him to happen to be born? Think about that. No control over that. So many things that he had no control. The only God, the only explanation is that Jesus is the truth, he is the life, and he is the way. And if that is true, let's be honest, what are the odds of the rest of the prophecies concerning Jesus coming to pass in the Bible? Doesn't that get you excited? Because there's some that have not come to pass yet, right? So if you say if 365 prophecies of Jesus all came to pass in his lifetime, where are we now? Praise God. What's coming for us? We believe, as Pastor said this morning, Jesus is coming back, and he is coming soon. And you can guarantee, I can guarantee you that what I'm saying is truth. Not only just because I believe it, it's not just a blind faith, but let's be honest, it is the gospel truth. And I have facts to back that up, not only numbers, but also just faith and faith in God's word. But God's word is the honest truth. Romans 3:4 says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And you can trust God's word over man's word. And I could stand up here and I could preach that there is another way besides Jesus, but I would be lying. I could preach another gospel to you. I could stand up here and pray to another God and say that he is the way, but let's be honest, I would be lying to you. Okay, that's what it's all about. Am I telling the truth or not? Man speaks doubt and death. You'll never make it. Man says you're not smart enough, talented enough, you don't have the character, you weren't made for that. Be realistic. It's not God's will. I've heard all of these things over my life, and yet God has proved all of those words of man to be untrue. Because with God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And what is God's will? We know God's will because God's will is God's word. So we're going to talk about the word of God tonight. And I actually got up early this morning as God spoke to me last night. I told Ashley, I'm going to get up early in the morning and start writing these notes. And I started writing the notes this morning and then came to church and pastor started speaking and preaching on some of the exact same scriptures. So you'll find that fascinating. I think you need to listen to this morning as well as tonight. But I love how God speaks his word. His word is his will. When did Jesus ever lie? When did Jesus ever not heal someone when they came to him for healing? Never. If you look in the Bible, all the scriptures which talk about Jesus, even historians that were not Christians, not even born again themselves, spoke of Jesus, guys like Josephus. We know these facts to be self-evident. They are truth, and we can stand on that truth. It's not something pie in the sky that somebody said happened, but we have no evidence. We have no witnesses of. We don't have like some religions where maybe an angel showed up with golden plates and he translated these golden plates and then the angel disappeared. Oh, give me those plates, and took the plates with him. Well, who was there? Nobody. Who saw it? Nobody. I'm just believing one person's word. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And we have proof, positive, historical fact, that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by all the disciples who knew him. They touched him, handled him, put their hands in the side. We know that he was seen by over 500 people at one time, many of whom were there whenever that scripture was being written. And they would have stood up and said, no, that's not true. But they had people that verified that said, yes, I was there. I saw him die. I saw him live. God showed us through scientific fact that Jesus, in fact, did die. Some people say, well, maybe he was on the cross and was hurt really bad, but then he healed up after a few days and was okay. No, that can't be possible, because the fact that Jesus was speared in the side and blood and water flowed, that's scientific medical proof that Jesus was in fact dead. Because as soon as your body dies, the second it dies, the water starts separating from the blood. That's what happens, because your heart keeps all that pumped and it keeps it cycling through so that that water is mixed in there real well. But as soon as you die, it starts to separate because of the stagnation of the blood. And so whenever they speared Jesus in the side and blood and water came out at the same time, separated, it showed that he was in fact dead. No doubt about it. And yet, no doubt about the fact that he rose again and is alive. It's the truth, folks. Let's be honest. Hallelujah. So, God's word is health. God's word is life. God's word is health. Proverbs 4:20 says this, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." You want some health? Get the word of God on the inside of you. It'll be health to your body. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from you." People say, what's the problem with preaching another gospel? Because it's perverse. And the Bible says perverse lips put far from you. It says guard your heart, because out of the heart come the issues of life. And we want health. We want life spoken into our hearts so that that's what we manifest in our bodies. Amen. I don't want any perversity in there. So I have to guard it. I have to watch what lips I allow to speak into my life and into my family's lives. I like, you can go online and search God's Medicine by Kenneth Hagin. It's nothing but scriptures of healing. I was sharing that with Robbie just the other day. Praise God. I'm glad you're well. You're alive. Praise God. And he's here. He wasn't feeling well. I said, man, get God's word. It's God's medicine. It's health to your body. It's life to you. Whenever we were kids, if we ever got a sickness come upon us, I'm telling you, and I don't say that you should necessarily do this. Some people would say that it was crazy. But out of 20 years of 9 kids in my family, not one of us ever went to a doctor. And not one of us ever broke a bone out of 9 kids. And we were rambunctious, okay? I skateboarded as a kid. I played basketball. I played peewee football. I was active. Some people say, what, did your parents just keep you locked up in the house all the time? No, we were actually traveling evangelists for a time. We went all over the world in a motorhome, all over the United States, preaching the gospel. We were well-traveled, and it really is a miracle. I look back at the faith of my parents to believe God to be able to do that. The first shot I ever had was just a few years ago. We went to Africa, and I got 8 all at once. You know, I was debating. I said, God, I've never had a shot in my life. I don't know if I want this. And honestly, I felt like a little kid about to have my first shot, and here I'm in my late 20s. No, actually, I guess I was in my early 30s, right? Yeah, I was in my early 30s about to have my first shot, and I was thinking, God, what do I do about this? And, you know, I realized it takes faith either way. You got to trust God no matter what, whether you get shots or whether you don't. You got to trust God that he's going to be your health, life, and strength. So I went ahead and did it just to be able to get into Africa, and so they would let me come back. So I wanted to come back to the United States. So I went ahead and got him. But God's word is health. God's word makes you free. John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the gospel. God's word is life. John 6:63. "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." That's what Jesus said. The words I speak are spirit and they are life. So any other words that are contrary to the words of Jesus are flesh and they are death. No wonder we don't want people speaking death into our lives. Come on, we know the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what brings life in a dead situation. You got to get in the word. God's word sets us apart. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them." This is Jesus praying to his Father. He says, "Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth." And to sanctify means to cleanse and set apart for God's use. That by the word of God, we are set apart, we're cleansed for God's use. The truth of God's word is what sets us apart from any other nation or people. And we were a nation founded upon Christian principles, and we were founded upon the Bible. And that's what makes us different. And people don't need to try to take that away from the United States. Don't try to take that away from people. God's word sets us apart. It sanctifies us. God's word can become your words. I got a revelation of that as Pastor Bob was preaching. Let God's word become your word. And so God's words can become our words. And if anybody has it together, Jesus has it together. He speaks the right words. You can be sure of that. Even Jesus, though, did not speak his own words. He spoke God's words. John 8:28, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. For I am not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. How much more plain can you make that? Jesus said it several different ways. I am not talking on my own accord. This is God speaking through me to you. I only speak God's word. If Jesus did that, how much more should we do that? The disciples spoke like Jesus, who spoke like God. Here they are. Jesus already died, rose again, ascended up into heaven. Now here the disciples are standing before the same men who were yelling, crucify him, crucify him, and were responsible for the death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And here they are standing before the high priest and all the rulers. And yet they stand boldly in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. They told them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I love verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, God's word is honest to goodness education for an ignorant man, hallelujah, or for an unlearned man. It will make you smart. It is the intelligence that you need. The word of God will bring what you need. You can go to the word for whatever it is. Don't go to education. Don't go to man's ways. Don't go to the world system, because I'm telling you, the world system will flunk you every time. But when you go to God, you cannot help but win. Hallelujah. So, God's word is not profane or vain. 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, and I love how Paul talks to Timothy like he would a son. He said, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. He said, avoid those things. Don't welcome them. Don't feed upon them. Don't meditate on them. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Because if it was true science, it would line up with the word of God. It always does. I think it's fascinating that all the earth, the Bible talks about the earth and its orbits and all these things. And for years, people thought the world was flat. And they found that with all our modern technology and science, not one scientific discovery has disproven or gone contrary to what God's word says. I think that's amazing. That is truly amazing. Because God had it right from the beginning. It's God's word to us. Hallelujah. Let's be honest. We got to tell the truth. Also, what we say is how we fight the fight of faith. As you were preaching this morning, Pastor, about the weapons of our warfare, I was telling Ashley, man, these are in my notes at home. I can't wait to preach this tonight. What we say is how we fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, that's what we've done with over the 70, how many thousand that we have, over 78,000 people in the last 2 years, we have professed a good witness before over 78,000 people. I think that's awesome. It says, I give you charge in the sight of God, 1 Timothy 6:13. I give you charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Even Jesus, standing before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession. And the words that he spoke, hallelujah, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, the only authority you have is the authority that my Father in heaven gives you. He wasn't afraid. He was bold enough to stand and say, hey, the only power you got over me is the power that God gives you. He's my daddy. So even in you doing whatever you got to do, go for it. I'm trusting my dad. Hallelujah. That's boldness. But God's word also brings joy. Psalms 119, 162. Psalms 119, 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil or treasure. If you found great treasure, how would you act? Do you see God's word as great treasure? If it is, get in it. Do you honestly, come on, let's be honest. Tell the truth. Do you honestly see God's word as treasure? If so, I promise you, you'll be in it more. And let's get honest with ourselves. Do we really believe the word that we speak or not? Too many people live their lives dishonestly. And I hate to see that in the church. I hate to see people that maybe they were born again, but maybe for the wrong motives, or they've been living a lie. And yet for many years they've lived a lie. And finally when they say, okay, I'm going to be honest, they turn away from God. You know what? I would say instead of honestly turning away from God, why don't you honestly turn to God? I've seen people do that, and I'll tell you, that leads to destruction. When people say, you know, I had to be honest. I had to be honest with my feelings. And so I can't be a Christian anymore. Why don't you be honest with the truth and say, you know what? I'm going to go more for Jesus than I ever had before. I'm going to quit living a lie and quit living after the flesh. Because in what they're doing, they're saying, I am going to choose a lie over the truth. That's not honest. And that is not the truth. So don't ever fall for that lie of the devil that tells you, you just need to be honest, quit being a hypocrite and leave that church and serve the devil like you know you want to. That's a lie. Don't fall in that trap. It does. It falls. It leads to destruction. So God's word is like a nice hot shower. Ephesians 5:26. You know how that feels after you've been skiing all day? Maybe and you're freezing cold and you get in a nice hot shower. Oh man, that's one of the things about the youth winter retreats. I tell my wife, man, I just don't want to get out of the shower. It just feels so good. After being, you know, you're working. It's fun. It's a blast. But man, you get cold to the bone. You get in a nice hot shower. It just feels so good. Or maybe you've been working. And you're all hot and sweaty in Texas heat in the summertime, and you go get in a nice shower, how good that feels. Ephesians 5:26 says, talking about Jesus, that he might sanctify and cleanse you or it with the washing of water by the word. We're washed by the water of the word. John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus' words brings cleanliness. It brings a cleansing every time we hear the word of God. And it's awesome and it feels so good. And people don't understand it when we lift our hands and we just begin to praise God. And we get so excited that we're like a kid skipping, you know, when we think about the word of God. Why is he doing that? What makes him so excited? Why is he just standing here like this, like, oh, what is he feeling? Have you ever stood underneath the air conditioner? Again, maybe in the heat. We were down in Mexico one time. I'll never forget this. We were down in Ciudad Victoria, Mexico, and it gets hot down there. You think Texas is hot? You should go down there where it gets so, so hot that at night you can feel the heat radiating off of the bricks like an oven. Like you walk outside and you're still cooking. That's how hot it gets. And I'll never forget seeing this guy. There was this air conditioner unit, and there was one air vent in the place we were staying at. And this guy was just standing there going, like that. And I just thought, boy, that just looks like people at church. Isn't that awesome? I love it. Where you just stand, you're just going, And people might call you nuts, and they might call you a fanatic, and they don't understand, but it's only because they're not under the air vent. If they were, they would understand. They're still in the heat. They're still miserable. So don't get out from the air vent just because people call you crazy. I'm telling you, we're enjoying the truth. We're enjoying the truth of God's word, and it's awesome, and it feels great. So don't worry about what other people think. Who cares? They're going to be sweating while you're enjoying life. So, if Jesus' word cleanses, and we're wrapping it up right here. If Jesus' word cleanses, then what does the word that is not from Jesus do? It clouds, it pollutes, it poisons, and it brings sorrow. Why are we standing so strong for the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word? Because everything else is a lie, it's deadly, and it's dangerous. Just like I would not want anyone to bring in a box of rattlesnakes and just let them loose in this sanctuary, I wouldn't want someone to get up and start preaching another gospel other than Jesus Christ. I know Pastor Bob wouldn't either. And so, yeah, we're going to get a little upset if people start trying to spew stuff that's not of God. Because it's wrong and it's deadly and it's dangerous. So, tell the truth. Let's be honest. And you know what? If you have a doubt or a question about the Word of God or something that's going on around here, why don't you be honest and seek the truth? And come and say, hey, can you explain this to me? Because I promise you, once you can get under the air conditioner, you'll enjoy it. And there are some people that they may think, just based on what they've heard, well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Show me one. Show me where. And if there is one that is a seeming contradiction, I promise you there's an answer for it. God can give you the answer. You don't have to live in living a lie as you think. I'm telling you, the Word of God is true. So you be honest. As Christians, we should live sanctified lives. We should be the most honest people around. You should never tell a lie. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies, and that in him is darkness, but in God there is no darkness, no variableness. There's not even a hint of a lie in the gospel or the word of Jesus Christ to you. Every word that Jesus gives you is true, and you can stand on it and depend upon it. Now, with man, you might be lied to. I can't promise you that with man, every word is going to be true. I mean, man might know that the footballs were not inflated properly. They might. I'm not calling anyone a liar, but they might not have. But man can lie. That's why we're not following any man. We follow Jesus. He's the only one that never lied, that never told a fib. He's the only sinless one. And I'm telling you, it's time to come back to righteousness, though, because as we start living like Jesus, like his disciples live like Jesus, those original 12, we'll find we start speaking the truth. And we find, hey, we're free from lying. And so the word from God to you is tell the truth. If there's anywhere in your heart you've been lying, whether to yourself or to somebody else, tell the truth. Fess up. Say, you know what? I'm going to tell the truth. It's not good to lie, but especially to the Holy Ghost. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? The disciples stood up and said, you haven't just lied to us. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. And God takes that very seriously. But there's a reward for honesty. And there's a trust that comes through honesty. They say that was one of the things Abraham Lincoln was known for, was his honesty. He was known as Honest Abe. And in fact, it got to the point where the way he came into leadership was really just because he was known as being so totally honest that people came to him looking for answers and for him to judge their affairs because they knew he would judge honestly. And yet we look at Washington, D.C. now. And the people that run this nation. The Washington Post has what they call Pinocchio Awards that they give out. And they give them to the politicians. And someone recently got 4 Pinocchio Awards for a whopper, they said, that they told. Blatant lie. There was a politician who just openly, totally lied, saying that she was under sniper fire in Bosnia. And then when they called her on it, she said, I misspoke. Then later on, she said, well, what I said was not entirely in keeping with what I knew to be the case. Yeah, exactly. In Texas. But she then later on she said, well, it didn't jive. It didn't jive. What I said didn't jive. Yeah, you didn't jive because it's a lie. Then later on, she said, well, on a few occasions, I was not as accurate as I have been in the past. Seriously, often the same person. Those are the exact quotes. And I'm thinking, where's the honesty? Where's the honesty? I'm telling you, we need to live honest before the Lord and say, Lord, if there's any way in my life that I've not been living honestly and rightly and justly and truth, God, I pray, Lord, help me reveal that to me so I can make it right and get it right and keep it right. Because when you're living for the Lord and you're living in the truth, there's such freedom in that. You don't have to try to remember what you told the last person, the last place you were at. You can just tell the truth. And that the truth will set you free. And the truth is, Jesus did die on the cross. I've got a whole message on that. How do you know the truth of Jesus? I've just been preaching in Bible college here. And so again, if you have any doubts or any questions in your mind, you're saying, how do we know this is the truth? Come talk to us. We can enlighten you, and you'll get excited at the truth of God's word. Because God's word is true, and every other word is a lie. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's the word I believe God has for us tonight.
Well, say it with me. Let every man be a liar. But let God be true. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Say it with me. This is my Bible. God wrote it to me as if I were the only person in the world. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God's word is first in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Stand to your feet, if you will. Let's praise our God tonight. Thank you, Brother Dan. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. And we just thank you for being able to be together this evening. And we pray that the rest of this evening will be glorifying to God. And we just give you all praise for a good, victorious week. For all the precious people of Calvary Cathedral International, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, all right, let's go see if the ball's properly inflated. All right.
God, bring us back to that place, the secret place with you.